Welcome to the Midlife Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Michelle, a certified life and relationship coach, and I am so excited that you are here. The Midlife Chaos is for all of us facing midlife and wondering, how the heck did I get here? And where the flip am I going? Here we will talk about all the things that chaos brings. No topic is off the table, so join me on this adventure as we navigate the midlife chaos. Hello, hello. Today's topic is going to bring a little perspective on other people in your life. Many of us have written an operating manual for the people in our lives, and I notice that I do this, and a lot of, well, probably most of my clients do too. And I'm going to suggest that this is the biggest problem in any close relationship. I'm trying to do better, and it helps that because I'm aware of this, I can see it in myself easier, which means I can work on it. As you know, I received my training through the Life Coach School. Brooke Castillo is the founder, and she presents this idea in such a funny way. As she's coaching her clients, she says, "Wow, you have a very thick manual that you've written for your husband. Have you even let your husband read the manual? I mean, does he know what he's supposed to do in order to operate properly?" The manual is like a rule book on how the other person should behave. See, we have this idea that if other people would just behave like I need them to, I could be happy. And we don't even realize that we're doing this. We think we have reasonable expectations of people in our life and that they should behave in a way that is reasonable, right? We actually have the ability to do whatever or behave however we want, and so do they. Recently, I was reading in a Facebook group, someone was complaining about life coaching and how self-serving it can be. And in all reality, when we look to our partner or friend, child, or whoever to meet our needs, that can lead to disaster, especially if you're expecting them to read your mind. Life coaching teaches that we are responsible for meeting our own needs. So when we're in a relationship with someone that expects us to fulfill their needs on top of our own, it can get very manipulative in that you are constantly trying to control the other person to make you happy, and vice versa. The truth is, you can't control anyone else, just like you don't want to be controlled by anyone else. And honestly, another person can never make you as happy as you want to be because they'll never measure up to your unvoiced expectation. So last week I mentioned the idea of saying our words or expressing our idea, right? Versus helping someone actually see our vision. And this is a lot like the manual, except a manual is typically an unspoken set of rules. I love that as Brooke is describing this idea, she says, "Most of us can't control or manage ourselves, and yet we want to control and manage other people, which is somewhat ridiculous." So think about it. How often or how many times have you tried to control someone else? Has that ever really worked out in your favor? Who ends up being frustrated in that situation? You! So what we need to do first is take a good look at the people in our lives that we have written a manual for. What is it that we want them to do differently than what they're doing now? And why do we want them to behave that way? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it isn't because we don't like what they're doing, but rather that we think we will feel differently or better with that changed behavior. Remember, we talked about this, that our thoughts are what causes our feelings, not the person's behavior. We get to choose what we think of that behavior. So if they follow our manual and do the things we want them to do or think, then they respect me. They care about me and my feelings, and all of that makes us feel good, right? But when they don't follow our manual, we choose thoughts like, they don't value me, they don't care about me, and continue this negative downward spiral. We aren't taking responsibility for our feelings because we're putting all of that onto our partner or whoever. We think, of course, they should treat me a certain way. Of course they should know. He should be more this, or she should do that. We even say things like, I should feel a certain way or do a certain thing and act a certain way. We just need to stop shitting on ourselves and others. Other people in our lives are not good at all at being who we think they should be. They are not even good at reading our minds. And when we do make requests, people aren't very good at complying with being who we think they should be. But you know what they are good at? Being themselves. And I'm guessing that is what drew you to them in the first place. So when they aren't operating the way the manual says they should be operating, we assume they are broken and need to be fixed. Just like a car has an owner's manual, and when the car doesn't operate the way the manual says it should, we say that it's broken and we take it to the shop to get it fixed. We project that onto people. Didn't you read the manual? Don't you see where it says you should be doing X, Y, and Z? Something must be wrong with you, and we need to get you fixed. Then we start to feel upset and resentful and all those negative emotions, all because they're not behaving or acting like we think they should. Sometimes we internalize this as, well, if I were in their shoes, I would do this or that. But guess what? They aren't you. I've been able to recognize this with my adult children. I have got great, amazing kids. But let me tell you, sometimes the choices they are making make me cringe a little, or a lot, inside. It doesn't even necessarily have to be anything major. I can see the outcome a mile away and I think, nope, that's not going to work out the way you're thinking it will. But guess what? That is their journey to go on. I mean, if they ask for my advice or input, I'm going to give it to them. But with that, I can't expect that they're going to follow that advice. They may think I'm a Debbie Downer or I just don't want them to have those experiences. It actually mainly comes from my own experiences of trying some of the same things, and maybe it didn't really work out for me. But they will put their spin on it. They'll put their approach from their personality, their perspective, and maybe it will work out. Maybe not like they expected, but maybe in some other way. At any rate, it's through those experiences that they learn and grow. So why would I take that away from them? Also, when we're trying to control the people around us, we're not really allowing them to be themselves. We carry this judgment about them that says they aren't capable or they don't measure up, they're not good enough. And is that the message you're wanting to send your child or partner, your parent, or even a friend? We are so worried about other people being their best selves. Why don't we just try to be our best self? I mean, honestly, if we really were that worried about it, we would talk to them. We'd ask them, why do they do the thing they do? Come from a place of help me to understand. I've come to learn that having been married to a man for 25 years, that sometimes the answer is, he's a man and I'm a woman and we just do things differently. It really has nothing to do with me at all. He isn't out to get me or show me any intentional disrespect. He was just raised to do things a certain way and I was raised to do things a different way. Now, a few exceptions to this would be if you're a parent or a manager at your workplace. You can definitely set clear expectations. That's different than creating a manual for them. You should be setting expectations, and in return, there are consequences. For your children, it could mean maybe they have to redo a chore or having a punishment if curfew is broken, or they don't get to eat until they feed the animals, or they could earn a reward, whatever it is. An employee consequence could be deciding if they get to continue working, or the flip side, they've earned a promotion or a raise. In both of these, there is no emotion tied to it. If you're familiar with Love and Logic, they talk a lot about not having emotions tied to the expectation or the consequence. It just is. A classic Love and Logic example would be giving your child two choices, but you have to be okay with either choice they make. Wear the red shirt or the blue shirt, have cereal or eggs for breakfast, but then be completely fine with whatever choice they make. If you're secretly hoping they make one choice over the other, that is using the manual against them. And another exception would be when someone might suggest that this means that we have to accept or tolerate bad behavior or something that doesn't align with our values. And that is not the case either. You can always choose love. You can meet a person where they are and still have a firm line in the sand. You can ask questions and try to understand where they're coming from. You can still love all the good about them and still set healthy boundaries. This does not mean that we tolerate mistreatment. It's not just that we don't have expectations of others, but that we do have expectations of ourselves. And with that, we can set boundaries. It's taking all that ownership back. Sometimes that means that we need to get a different job or even leave a marriage. But you're putting the focus back on you and what you are actually responsible for, and stop trying to control the people around you. An example of setting a healthy boundary is, let's say you have a friend that's always late. I may be that friend. But we may internalize that this person doesn't care about me or my time, they're selfish, when in reality, maybe they're just really bad at time management. But if you know this person is always late, you can choose to either really let it bother you and stew about it. You can make little comments every time you're setting plans, which honestly might make this friend not even want to hang out with you. Or you can say, hey, we're planning on meeting up at 6:30 for whatever event, right? Knowing they aren't going to show up until 7. And then the boundary would be, hey, if you aren't here by 7 o'clock, we're going to leave without you, get started without you, whatever. You aren't forcing them to be on time. You aren't guilt tripping them into meeting your schedule, but you are saying, hey, I know that you're going to be late and that's okay, but we really need to get going by this time. So if you aren't here, we're just going to get going. You're welcome to come earlier, but this is what we are doing. Boundaries are not meant as punishment. They're just a clear understanding that this is what I'm willing to do. You're welcome to do you. Just know that whatever that is, this is what my response will be. If they get there on time, great. If not, they already knew ahead of time the understanding. There doesn't need to be any emotion wrapped around it. The beauty of life is that you get to choose how you approach it. You get to choose how you respond. You get to decide what you're going to let bother you. And you know what? There is a lot of freedom in that. So when your partner is doing something that irritates you or that you wish they would do differently, take a step back and ask yourself, what is the story that you have made up, right? What is the story that you're telling yourself? What are you making it mean about you? And remember that what they are doing has nothing to do with you, and move on. Or tell yourself all the negative made up stuff and be miserable. I myself am choosing to let them do them, and I'm going to do me. It makes my life so much happier. So I challenge you this week, as you notice yourself getting irritated, because this is where I first notice it, right? As you notice those feelings coming up, try to think to yourself, is this an unwritten rule that I'm projecting? Am I being fair to assume that the other person knows what I want or need or how I'll feel because of what they're doing? Have I created a manual that I'm expecting them to live up to, even though I've never let them read it? See what it would take to change your mindset around that. And then observe how you feel. I'm not saying this is going to be easy. It actually does take quite a bit of work to acknowledge this in yourself and see how it does make you feel when you're projecting those ideas onto the people around you. But if you can kind of get this under control, you could be a lot happier in life and take back a lot of emotional freedom. Okay, so give that a try this week and let me know how it goes. Reach out to me if you have questions or if you are struggling in a certain area or just need some perspective or just need to vent a little bit. I'd love to listen to you. And have a great week. Thank you for listening to The Midlife Chaos. If you liked what you heard, please leave a review. I sure would appreciate that. And of course, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. If you want to see what else we are up to, check out my Instagram at The Midlife Chaos or join our Facebook group, Midlife Chaos VIPs.